Hello, Aries. Eric Francis here, your astrologer and today tarot card reader. Turning all the cards face down in my deck. Good morning. It's a rainy day here in Kingston, New York. The morning of the solstice, though the sun is still in very late Gemini. And I've owed you this reading for a while, and I like to tidy things up for the equinoxes and the solstices, so I'll be doing a few tarot card readings today. And it's good to be with you. So while I'm shuffling my double handle deck, one of my favorite decks, the Handel H-A-I-N-D-L Tarot, I have really strict criteria for tarot decks, by the way. I should do a little recording on it, but at this stage, after having had my hands on probably 100 decks, I'm down to about 4. And mainly what I'm looking for is a sleek quality, not sticky, that just get right to the point of the reading without sticking to your fingers too much. So I don't use the Crowley deck, by the way. I love the Crowley deck. I think it's brilliant, and I'm a great admirer of Lady Freda Harris, but the deck is just a little too sticky. It's a little too opinionated on its own, and I need my deck to have that cool, detached quality that I aspire to. Okay, so again, while mixing the cards, this has been an incredible few weeks for Mars transits. You've probably been feeling it, and we're at the stage where there's one major Mars transit left. But what happened was, some weeks ago, I forget quite how many, it was in May, Mars entered Cancer and immediately completed the T-square, turning it into a grand cross. There's a T-square in the cardinal signs right now. It's actually a grand cross at the moment. Two T-squares of slow-moving planets in the cardinal signs. Pretty incredible. If you're wondering why the world, once again, seems to be spinning off of its axis, that's why. And so just to sum up, there's not much permanently positioned in Cancer except for some trans-Neptunian points, those interesting planets without bodies. One of them is Kronos. One of them is Hades. And so I follow those, though I read them on a different level than I read physical planets. So Cancer, which for you is the fourth house, has been, you know, is waiting for objects to come along and complete the grand cross that's extant in the other cardinal signs. So in your sign right now, there is Chiron. That's well known. What's less well known, unless you are following my writing on the subject, is that Chiron is conjunct a point called Salacia, S-A-L-A-C-I-A, probable namesake of the word Salacious, the sea nymph, wife of the god Neptune. Nice pairing there. And this is, to me, the sexual healing aspect taking place in your sign, Chiron conjunct Salacia. And when I say sexual healing, I'm not talking about Marvin Gaye or Chef from South Park yet. When I say sexual healing vis-a-vis Salacia, what I'm really talking about is the capacity to have a mature conversation about sex per se, not contextualized within romance or marriage or morals, but an actual conversation about sex, not contextualized in politics, which is the spirit of our time, which is to have everything be a matter of civil rights and anti-discrimination and the LGBT Center and the Supreme Court, all of which are important. I mean, we're days away from the Stonewall Rebellion 50th anniversary. And PBS has been doing some fantastic coverage of the gay liberation movement, which really is an astonishing history. And I was not quite aware of the extent to which the gay people were basically public enemy number one in the United States in the 1950s, and that when Joseph McCarthy was debunked, and turned out there were no card-carrying communists. I've yet to see a communist membership card, although that'd be fun to make one. They switched from the Red Scare to the Purple Scare, and made it seem like now, oh, the enemy morphed into gay people. And to have come from there in just over 60 years to the point where now it's kind of de rigueur to be of utmost respect for the reality of same-sex effectual and sexual relationships. All that said, when I'm talking about sexual healing, what I'm really talking about first and foremost is the ability to have an actual conversation, for example, with your partner, potential partner, with your children, with your friends, and I think this is a maturity issue. My old good friend and teacher, Betty Dodson, has been invited at times to do like bachelorette parties prior to weddings, where she does the you know, instead of having like a wild party, you invite an now 90-year-old woman to bring a collection of sex toys and explain masturbation to you and your 20-something friends. This is a true thing, I guess, maybe only in New York. And so, and she says that the women basically giggle through the whole thing, and we need to do better. So Chiron conjunct Salacia, phase one, sexual healing, the honest conversation, the mature conversation. And I don't mean like stuck up. I just mean, let's talk. And then furthermore, there's more to it than that, more to Chiron and Aries than that, because there's a whole other line of reasoning that I have associating Aries as being the crime scene of the digital revolution and what it's done to people, the way in which it's taken people out of themselves and basically flipped us inside out. I have a lot of writing about that. Anyone interested, just drop me a note at efc@bookofblue.com, and I'll send you this. I've worked for 4 years with the McLuhan family, getting kind of an honorary master's degree in media studies to look at this disembodiment, destabilization of society and intellect effect. And I have traced this back to planetary activity in Aries, mainly associated with Eris in late Aries right now, and about to become once again the star player in the planetary alignment, because Mars is now exactly square Eris from Cancer, and Pluto is square Eris from Capricorn, as well as Saturn. So it's a big deal. And this is going on in Aries. So there's a lot of attention focused on your sign. Then across the river in Libra, there are two minor planet features. Another conjunction in early Libra, your relationship house, that's a conjunction of Maki Maki and Logos. Now, Maki Maki is associated with the Easter Islands. It's the, I believe, the... It may be the previous religion prior to those statues at Easter Island that were all like this marvel. How the hell do they get these blocks of whatever that rock is there? And I don't maybe you have a better fix on Maki Maki than I do. I can't quite wrap my mind around it, but Logos makes sense to me. Logos is in a conjunction to Maki Maki, and I should focus this conversation somewhere starting here. And Logos is about the paradigm and the mental framework, the logical framework, the linguistic framework of pretty much anything. And in your case, it's in Libra, and it's in the seventh solar house, opposite Aries. And so I think this is the paradigm of relationships. And the paradigm of relationships that we are in right now is, first of all, again, everything is largely politically informed and politically driven. And I think that there is a problem for heterosexual people in that heterosexuality, among other forms of sexuality, has been under attack by the Christian movement for a long time, but specifically since the early 1980s when the abstinence-only indoctrination movement took place and supplanted sex education in schools. And so I think that there is an actual issue here of suppression of information and a kind of making of second-class citizens into people who are heteronormative. And, you know, it's not cool right now. It's not vogue right now. And the whole thing is crazy that there's cool and that there's vogue. And I think that people need to do what we all agree to and be who we are and how we feel and be free to explore. But these are the things that have been subtracted from our current scenario. And I suggest, speaking of paradigms, we pay close attention to when there is a political paradigm imposed on human loving interaction, which seems to be going on pretty much in all quarters right now. And then later in Libra, opposite Eris, incredibly there's an opposition to Eris, it's a dwarf planet called Haumea. And Haumea is the midwife of the gods. Excuse me, I must have caught a blast of pollen coming in through, despite the rain. I got a little sneezy thing going on here. All right, so then in Capricorn, that's where the hottest action is right now. Your career and ambition and kind of public face sign. There is this explosion going on between Pluto and Saturn that is the thing that I think is spinning the world on its finger, though the square to Eris is noteworthy, somewhat subversive. But we're seeing, when we see this complete chaos and breakdown of order in politics, and for example, today, here on the 21st, there's this discussion of going to war with Iran, but there's no Secretary of Defense. That kind of crap is the conjunction of Saturn and Pluto, and we're about to experience a year of Saturn and Pluto in an election year. Now, all of this is, and P.S., then in Capricorn, there's all this family stuff, Pholus and Quasar. So all of this influences you because any sign acts like a focal point for the cross that it is on. And so Aries is on the cardinal cross, whether you've got sun, moon, or rising there, or you're around 45, 50, and you have Chiron there. So you are feeling the impact of this basically double T-square and currently Grand Cross. And Mars is still active, and it's making the last major aspect. And in this whole journey, Mars has made aspects. Mars, your ruling planet, has made aspects to all of these points in the past 5 to 6 weeks. That is a lot. God knows what you've been through. Things are cooling off a little bit, except for the eclipses coming up. That's another topic. So anyway, that's the kind of astrology meets world news update meets a relationship scenario update. Let's look at some tarot cards. in the context of that, Spider Woman, matriarch of Earth, came up in the cut. Talk to old ladies and get wisdom from them. My favorite readers are the octogenarian women these days. All right, so I'm setting down the cards face down. Again, sorry for my scratchy voice here. And I'm using the Celtic Wings Tarot, and let's take a look at what this reading is about. Mm-hmm. This is my first job in this business, reading lots and lots and lots of tarot cards for the Jackie Stallone Psychic Circle. I would work all night and read astrology books. Then they would start running TV commercials, and I would have to do readings for a few hours and have grocery money. All right, first position, that which you want, technically the fourth position, is Osiris. It's an Egyptian thing. And to me, this follows the Aries theme of putting things back together. because what's happened with Aries is a kind of a disassembly of self and self-concept and a flipping inside out. And the actual moral of the story from Egyptian mythology is don't forget the penis, because they Osiris is kind of the Humpty Dumpty of Egyptian mythology, and his sister puts him back together, but she can't find his phallus. So bear that in mind. Speaking of phallus, first card, card one, significator, the Emperor, the Aries card. Hello. That's exciting. And so that's your significator. So there's this symbol of wholeness, strength, and authority over oneself. My take on the Emperor card is get a grip on your reality. Take care of business. You're the boss of your own life. So there you have it. Second card. 3 month past ish. It is the Two of Pentacles. The Two of Pentacles has a couple of different takes. I'm fond of the Rider Waite take, which is the kind of little clown figure juggling two pentacles with the infinity symbol around it, which is, you know, the elementary reading of that is too much to handle, but handling it well. And in this deck, the card is called Harmony, and it's a little yin, excuse me, a lot of yin and a little yang. So the balance comes through a kind of receptiveness, connecting to womb energy, a softer quality. And movement and a lot going on in the past few months since your birthday. And then the next position is the position associated with this surrounds you and is in the process of leaving, using the old nursery rhyme for the Celtic crossbred Six of Wands. And Six of Wands is, the card is titled Victory. It is about prevailing over the basic affairs of your life. It has a touch of success breeds contempt. Take a look at the Rider-Waite version of this. One of the things I do is I use one deck and then mentally refer to many others. And so don't be intimidated by anyone who is annoyed by the fact that you're doing pretty well in the world, in a time when Things are, for many people, just really stressed out and a fucking mess. Okay, now moving toward the future in a direct way, remembering that Osiris is pointing the way toward the future, and we've, with the Emperor as the significator, we've remembered Osiris to his phallus. Moving forward, the next card is Aeon, or Judgment, or the Last Judgment, card 20, Atu number 20. And I take this card as the Suspend Judgment card. There's a lot of unknown for all of us, a lot of unknown ahead, and so the Judgment card, or Aeon, as Rachel Pollack called it. She's the esoteric author of the deck, by the way. Handel is the painter. What a gorgeous card. It's two rivers. I've never seen this before. Two rivers, red river and a blue river, and then a white mountain range. And then what I think is called the Orphic Egg, a kind of a fetus, speaking of womb energy, a fetus in this egg. This is a deep esoteric symbol from the old days. We could refer to Crowley's literature to find out more about that. But it's human potential. It's the imminent rebirth of humanity. And this card in this deck reminds me a little bit of the Hanged Man. The fetus is inverted. It's the card of something about to happen. The Hangman is followed by the Death card. Card 20 is followed by card 21. The universe. The rune looks like Perth. I'm a little bit out of practice on the runes. It's not Uruz. It's Perth. And in any event, there's like a 2001 Space Odyssey-like dimension that you're about to go through, where it may seem like you're facing the unknown. Only the thing not to do is to judge that. Just stand there and face the unknown, and I think that you will get the instructions that you need. The Resistance card is Son of Wands, Lord Krishna. Krishna consciousness is a beautiful thing. Since it shows up in the position of resistance, you might flip open a copy of or PDF of the Bhagavad Gita, which is this really wonderful bit of Vedic scripture. And one of my favorite lines in the Gita is where Krishna says to Arjuna, "I am the mind of the senses, the consciousness of creatures." And so the mind of the senses is different from the mind that cogitates and obsesses. The mind of the senses is just the thing that's observing the senses. And the consciousness of creatures is sentience, which you encounter in your bird and praying mantis and your puppy and your cat and your kids and, frankly, plants. They talk to us quite a bit. And so I would just take Lord Krishna as come to your senses, literally your senses, and be with your consciousness rather than resist your consciousness. That if you're seeking kind of extrinsic metaphysical information, stick to your awareness. What do you notice? Pay attention. In that purely Gestalt sense of the thing, my Gestalt therapist has only asked me a million times, "What are you aware of?" And I look around and say, "I'm aware of that painting on the wall. I'm aware of how the light is coming in the window," and all that. Alrighty. The mind of the senses, the consciousness of creatures. We're now in the relationship end of the chart. the card right below the corner of the keyboard when I photograph this in a second. And we have here is the Son of Cups shows up in the relationship house. Youngish man, Parsifal, Knight of the Round Table, and the passionate, the Knight of Cups is the, excuse me, Knight of Cups, right? Prince of, I'm confusing my systems. The younger, not the king, but the knight of cups is passionate, driven by passion. It's the fiery part of water. So it's the, you know, the stormy hurricane element of water presented in a masculine form. The elements all mix. And so water can be masculine, and that means passionate and you know, emotionally hot-headed, but in a passionate way. And then the card beyond that is the four of the four of swords. So, just taking the knight or son of cups and the four of swords as a little equation of its own. One is hot and fiery and raging forward, and the other is resting and recuperating healing. And so if there's someone in your life who is presenting as the Son of Cups, it's like hot, fiery, sexual, passionate. Get a sense of what's going on beyond that. Get a sense of the underlying healing process and the underlying needs there, because the hot water may be a kind of a surface level thrown over the need for rest and recovery and for recuperation. All right. Last card, the outcome at present course and speed, is the Ten of Cups. This is an interesting card. The Ten is always the fulfillment of the suit, and the fulfillment of the suit is always leading to the next thing. So the most stable element usually in any suit, and I think the one of the ones showing the real trajectory, is the Nine of the suit. The Ten of Cups, though, is very resonant with the Nine. The Nine is sometimes called the wish card, and the Ten is sometimes called the secondary wish card. So you've got the Ten up there, and this is pointing toward being content with your life. And I would say, don't be too content with contentment in the sense that it might distract you from your next adventure. And you are an Aries or Aries rising, and you are entitled to be restless. So be restless and be happy being restless. And you know, if other people need to chill out, let them. But you know, you are probably soon going to be looking for your next adventure. But I'm seeing that the 10, the combination of the 10 and then 20th Trump, it's like hang out and let something come to you rather than you going to it, right? Let the universe make a move. Hang out in the garden you know, have some friends over for dinner. The card confirming this is Brahma, the Father of Wands in the East, and this brings up the like priestly class of India, but it is also a degree of spiritual mastery and spiritual maturity. And again, the figure of a male, right? There's all male figures in this spread, right? We've got Parsifal, we've got Osiris, we've got the Emperor, we've got Lord Krishna, and we've got Brahma. Where's the women? That's the question I would propose they may well be there, it may be a question of who and what you're emphasizing. It also may be a question of what you want to embody. Though I would remind you that I think the real problem on the planet right now is that we need to replenish the energy of what in Japanese tantra is called awa, AWA. We need to replenish womb energy, and part of the instability and lack of balance and sense of aggression and perception of masculinity as toxic, which, by the way, does not even meekly show up in this spread, which is loaded with male energy, is saying we need to replenish this awa energy, which really means letting the cup fill up again. And this way you've got some water. And on that note, I say thank you for your patience and for trusting me as your reader. And you're as well welcome to drop me a note at efc@bookofblue.com. I am through the summer doing readings. I've got a couple of different ones going, and so happy to answer any of your queries there. And once again, thank you for your business, and I'll catch you next time around. Bless and bye for now.